My name is Tara Owell, and I'm in Texas. Today is Tuesday, September 20th, 2022. The time is 7:39 p.m. I am interviewing Ruben Almeida, who is in Florida, about the events he experienced in 2017 during Hurricane Harvey. The unedited interview and transcript will be on file at Texas A&M Corpus Christi, and the podcast this interview was for will be uploaded online for South Texas Stories. Ruben, do I have your permission to record this interview?
Yes.
Thank you. It would have been really awkward if you said no.
Yeah. twist. Plot twist.
All right. So let's start at the very beginning. Tell me your name and your job title.
My name is Ruben Almeida. Do you need me to spell it too? I'm so used to news. So
whatever you're comfortable with.
Cool. Well, you know how to spell my name, but I'll give it to you just in case. So Ruben Almeida, R-U-B-E-N-A-L-M-E-I-D-A, Junior. And I'm current, I guess, what did you need my title or?
Yeah, just your occupation.
Occupation. I am currently a photojournalist for Spectrum News 13 out in Orlando, Florida.
So tell me about, we're going to start with some background questions. Tell me about growing up in Texas and how you got interested in media.
So I born and raised in Corpus Christi, Texas. I grew up on a healthy, steady diet of media. Not just like movies and TV and stuff, but we watched the news a lot. And I do remember, just watching a lot of like, I don't know, Joe Gazin and Lee Salisley and Alan Harwell. It's just kind of burned into my brain. Didn't really know what I wanted to do through like most of high school. And, one thing led to another. And then I was like, I think I want to be a filmmaker. So I kind of started at Del Mar. It was the local community college. So, you know, took some classes there. And oddly enough, like in doing film kind of stuff, like I also learned like the basics of like what goes into like a TV production and production in general, which always kind of fascinated me because I just the whole how things work when it comes to like a production, whether it's like audio or video, just always fascinated me. On top of like the creative stuff, that's cool as well. But just like from a technical standpoint, all the work that goes in, I love like all the protocol and just with the weird nerdy stuff that goes into that. And then eventually that turned from me going to Del Mar for 2 years to going off to New York for a film program at School of Visual Arts, and we did more of that, less TV, but more just kind of into the creative and also a lot of technical stuff. Did that for 4 years, and then it was weird because news was never like the end game. Like the end game was always in one way, shape, or form, you know, stuff with the camera. And even back then, I didn't even really touch a camera. I was too scared to touch cameras. I just didn't have the aptitude I thought for it. And I was much more okay with doing like post-production and audio. So that's kind of what my realm was. And then, eventually I graduated in 2014 and then ended up back home. And you were working at Channel 3. And you were like, hey, do you need a job? And I was like, yeah, I really need a job. I'm in a ton of debt. And I need to get a job. So, yeah, it's weird because like it's kind of disjointed. But I guess with a lot of like people in those kind of majors, the radio, TV, film, like it's all connected. So, I ended up working at Channel 3 in the summer of 2014 as an editor, and then our news director one day was like, "Hey, do you know how to operate a camera?" And I was like, "Yeah," and I've been doing shooting news since 2014. So it's almost 8 years. It's like the longest I've like done anything, which is kind of crazy.
Well, you said that news wasn't really your first choice. Why have you stayed with it for 8 years?
I don't know. I'm a glutton for punishment. No, it is at the end of the day, like it doesn't get boring. It doesn't get old. It for a while, I used to tell people, you know, they would ask me like, "What's that job like?" And I would say, you know, think of it as it's like every day I'm like podcasting essentially, because a lot of times I'll talk to complete strangers, and about a multitude of things. It could be, you know, it could be the worst day of their life where their house burned to the ground, and you know they have to figure out what they're gonna do next. Or, you know, I'm talking to someone at the Texas State Aquarium about like a new like shark exhibit they're really stoked about. Or, some days, you know, I remember we would do, oh man, what was it? It was like a dog costume contest at Cole Park, and I would be talking to this couple who dressed up their dog as a Whataburger dog. So, it doesn't get old. There's always something different going on, and I don't know, I feel like it also, like, working in news kind of helps broaden your perspective of the world. You know, your world isn't just your little bubble when you do news. I feel like if you ever want to really get to know your community, like, I guess like a local politician would be a good job, but news, like being in news, local news, is like another good way to like really get a sense of, you know, not just your personal, like your hometown. It could be, you know, the city or the state or whatever, depending on where you work. So yeah, I guess that's a long-winded answer saying, yeah, it doesn't get old, and yeah, there's just always something unique about it.
The station that you were at in Corpus was pretty small. How does it differ from the one that you're in Florida?
In a lot of ways, there's a lot of things are the same, and then a lot of things are different. Obviously, when you're going from like a market 120 something station to like top 20, resources are definitely like totally different. In the station where we were at in Corpus, no one had laptops. So there was like two communal laptops that usually you would use for high school football, or if you know you were going to San Antonio for a couple of days, or Austin. We would shoot all of our stuff and have to edit in these like ancient computers in these edit bays. And like just recently, my station purchased brand new 2021 like MacBook Pros with like the M1 Pro chip, which is nice. And apparently, we're supposed to be getting new cameras in the following year. So there's that. Obviously, staffing, you know, you have a lot more staffing at your disposal. I don't know about now. I mean, that's just the industry in general. There's kind of a shortage, but even just now, if you look at the numbers between both stations, I'm sure you would see that, you know, we have a lot more bodies at our disposal. But in the same way too, a lot of things are similar. I feel like a lot of news stations from what I hear and from what I understand, and working in the industry for 8 years, there's always we even though we're in the communications business, there's always a strong sense of mis not strong sense. Let me rephrase that. There's miscommunication, in our field, and you know, lots of different management always is also kind of at ends with like what the reporters want to do. So there's also that stuff like that. You know, doesn't change if you're going from like top 20 to, you know, top 50, or the 151, wherever that is.
When people ask you about your job, do you kind of just tell them the perks about it, or do you like sugarcoat it, or do you tell them like what actually goes on?
A little bit of both. Obviously, I work for a company that is part of a larger kind of corporation, so there are benefits to it. Aside from like, you know, like in the news, you know, there's great health benefits and all that. But then on top of that too, you know, sometimes I get to, you know, I will tell them like, "Hey, yeah, I got to go to Universal today, and we got to ride the Velocicoaster before everyone else did, and or I got to ride Hagrid's." But at the same time too, I always kind of, as you get a lot of people saying, "Oh, that must be easy," and it's like, well, yeah, you have your easy days, but then, you know, the one day you're at Universal doing the Velocicoaster media preview day, and then the next day you're, you know, covering a kind of like a gang related shooting where like you see like the bodies of like, you know, teenagers kind of on a rainy day, and then like within earshot, you know when the families arrived, because within minutes of being there, you hear like a not everyone's heard the noise I'm kind of going to describe, but it's like there is this very specific noise that comes from a human being that, like, when they find out that, like, you know, a loved one was just, like, killed in cold blood. So that, yeah, there's you know, your week has its extremes. So yeah, I try not to sugarcoat it. I maybe I don't lead with, you know, oh yeah, you know, I was doing this and then I had to go cover like a kid being killed. But, you know, I always kind of try to throw that in because I think people have this kind of warped perception of like what it's like working in news.
Yeah, I was reading this article a couple of days ago that was saying how when a tragic event happens, the families are consoled and the first responders are heroes and grief counselors reach out to them. But no one thinks about the journalist. You know, they were there too. They saw what happened. They have to report what happened. But, you know, you show any sign of weakness and they're like, toughen up. This is your job. You know what I mean?
Pretty much. Yeah, no, that, yeah, it is. I like, journalists get a bad rap to begin with, you know, especially in the last, beyond 6 years of, like, the political climate where, you know, we already face a weird reputation. And not just that, but even before, I feel like, you know, you grow up hearing the term, if it bleeds, it leads. So people kind of, I feel like the general public maybe don't have such a, they don't feel bad for us. They don't have a sympathetic view towards us. But yeah, no, there are days where I've called my wife after, like, you know, something pretty messed up and I'm just like, not in a great state of mind, you know, that's, and I feel like that's totally normal, but yeah, no one, maybe aside from like, and it's completely unrelated. We had a coworker pass away due to natural causes. And I think that was the only time I've ever been offered grief counseling. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's, you know, that's, you know, for some that get, but yeah. We've, you know, no, sorry, I'm just kind of rambling about that, but yeah, no, never been told, hey, yeah, if you need to go talk to, you know, our grief team, you know, here's a number. We just kind of have to go home and, you know, you'll think about it for a little bit. And also, I will say, too, like, I've kind of joked around that it's not for some, you know, some people develop coping mechanisms for that kind of stuff. Some that maybe see the crazier side, like the breaking news side more often. And you hear about a lot of people, like, they have drinking and drug problems within the news industry. And I'm not kind of surprised at that because aside from, like, the day-to-day stress of, like, making your deadline, you're also, like, juggling, like, you know, the crazy things you'll see or hear or, you know. And sometimes it might just be things that happen to you. I remember a coworker of ours, I think within her first 2 weeks, you know, she had never been to Corpus before, and I think she had a knife pulled on her or something like that. And it's just like, if you're not used to that, yeah, now it can also have like a toll.
As a journalist or as anyone in the news behind the scenes too, you know, we have to kind of detach ourselves, and that's pretty scary. And if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine. But how do you cope with these situations? Minus just calling your wife, like, is there anything else that helps you?
I mean, sometimes I kind of, like, I will try to, like, I guess disassociate and kind of just space out. Sometimes I will, like, just sit and, like, kind of just either turn on something, some sort, either a podcast or music, and just kind of let my mind wander about other things. Driving, oddly enough, does help a lot. I drive a lot, and the market I'm in right now, it's very sprawling, so I have a lot of, like, time in between shoots, so I kind of just try to think about other things to kind of disconnect. I try to have a healthy-ish kind of work life separation, which isn't always possible because a lot of my friends outside of work also work in the industry, and of course all you tend to do is talk about work. And like, yeah, sometimes, you know, it can be as simple as that, or it could be that, or something as simple as, like, go home, you know, turn on pro wrestling and crack a beer open and kind of just try to, like, distance yourself as much as possible. Because more than likely, like, if it's something tragic, like, you're going to be on it the next day doing follow-ups. And a lot of times talking to, you know, if it is something tragic that happened to like a family or a town, or like if it's a fire, you have to go back the next day and talk to, you know, talk to the folks that were affected. So I think it is important to kind of have a way to cope. Of course, like if, as long as it's healthy and what's the word am I searching for? As long as you have, do it in healthy doses, you know, that's, I feel like it is important to kind of try and distance yourself. I know for some, like the whole term disassociating kind of seems a little extreme or drastic, but I mean, yeah.
Well, yeah, being a journalist or being in the news business, it's pretty unpredictable. And you do create a strong bond with your coworkers because you're together all the time. And, you know, you can go home and talk to your significant other, but they don't really understand. But you go and you talk to your coworkers. They were there. They saw it too. They understand. So I think those connections are pretty important too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You've got your work wives and work husbands, and yeah. And being in the industry for 8 years, you definitely have like your strong bonds, and it does help when you know have someone to turn to, and you know, whether they're having a bad day or you're having a bad day, it's always good to kind of have that person to turn to. You know, for some, you know, there's MMJs, there's people who are out solo doing it, and they don't have that luxury. So, yeah.
So, switching gears, we're going to talk a little bit about Harvey. That was in 2017, and there was a mandatory evacuation for Rockport, but not for Corpus. And even if there were, you know, first responders and news media couldn't leave. How did it make you feel to know that like you couldn't leave for your safety because you could lose your job?
I didn't feel great about it. And, it's tough. My significant other, she had shelter, so she wasn't evacuating. But I still have my folks, my family, that like, I worry about it. It's tough. It's, you know, because if I was in my early 20s, single, and didn't have, you know, a family to worry about, I feel like I would look at things a little bit differently than I would. I mean, I was 26 at the time, not married, but still worried about my family, as a 32-year-old person, it is a crappy feeling to know that, you know, I have to go put, you know, a lot of times going out doing the opposite of the idea of evacuation is going right into it. While my family or friends have to stay behind, and it's not an easy feeling. You're worried also not just about your safety, but you're also worried about your family's safety, because a lot of the times they're just staying home, you know, a tree could fall or whatever, or a tree could fall on your car, or you could get struck by lightning. So it's like double the worry.
Yeah. I know a lot of journalists, kind of see natural disasters as like the big thing, like the big event in their life. That's like Christmas morning. You know, I remember some of the weather guys were pretty stoked to get to talk about Hurricane Harvey. Were you ever like, I don't want to say like excited, but like, were you into the idea of getting to cover this, or were you just like not about it from the beginning?
I mean, part of me, a very small part of me, was excited. I think at that point I had my fair share, not so much hurricanes, but you know, it's South Texas. We have our fair share of crazy weather in the summer. And I've done my fair share, I felt like, of storm chasing, and so part of me was a little like, again, not gonna lie, part of me was a little excited. This is a very small part, just because like we were tasked with being on the Bayfront, so I was like, okay, that's kind of, you know, that like I'm out at the water. Most of me was just not like looking forward to it. I have a very vivid memory of like, you know, again, like it was funny that week. My wife and I were in San Antonio buying a bed, and like I remember this very vividly. We were like having lunch, And I'm like, oh, Harvey, ah, it's going to be fine. No big deal. And then, like, you know, you do, like, the fast cut, like, 3 days later. Like, we're, like, both emotional wrecks because, like, we're being separated from each other. And, like, we're trying to figure out, like, okay, where can we, like, put our stuff? And some of it is, like, you know, sentimental things. Like, where can we put it so it won't get, you know, if it does flood, like, where can we put it where it doesn't get messed up? And, like, yeah.
Yeah, I know that they gave us the option at the station to bring family to stay with us. And I had my friend and my wife with me. But I was a video editor. I got to stay in the station. I got to be with them. I wasn't worried about them. So I know that with you, I mean, you were out in the field. I'm sure your wife was worried about you, too, because like you were saying, you were at the water. Can you kind of like paint us a picture of like what it was like, minus like, you know, obviously there's a lot of wind and rain, but like, were there other people out there? How did you guys prepare for this?
Yeah, there wasn't just, you know, it wasn't just the local media. There is, you know, we had the Weather Channel folks doing their thing. You know, and they're well insured, so you know they could have a little more fun where I was a little more cautious. But yeah, no, you had your locals out there doing stupid things, and you had other news crews out there. The hours like leading up to it were very weird because there's this kind of general sense of like calm, just because on the Gulf Coast, you know, we've all gone through our hurricanes. A lot of people, you know, the ones that tend to stay, I mean, they're lifers. So anytime, like, I'm not leaving. So there's this weird, like, kind of, I guess, a false sense of security. And then, like, you slowly see the demeanor change once the skies get a little darker and the winds kind of pick up a little bit. And you definitely notice the surf, like, kicking up. And then there was a point where, we had been out there maybe like a couple hours, kind of doing live hits. They would come out to us every so often. I remember, like kneeling, like it, cause like I had, we have like rain gear for our cameras, and I had like a hand-me-down rain gear. So it didn't really do a great job of covering my camera, and I didn't want to get it waterlogged, and my camera had a bad history with waterlogging. So I was knelt in the truck, and I had my reporter out there. And definitely, like, when the rain started to pick up, like, trying to, like, use my knee to keep the door open because the wind was kind of pushing everything. And then after that, after a few of those hits, we got a call from the station saying, basically reeling us back, which was news to me because I had no idea. Like, I didn't know that was, you know, part of the deal. I just assumed we were going to be out there. There was no real plan. So we're like, okay, we hopped in the van, and we were about like a 10 minute, maybe 12 minute drive from the station. And there was no traffic. It was a ghost town. So we had no issue, you know, going back, but halfway through that trip, they were like, we need you to like take shelter now. And it's kind of weird because it wasn't all hell hadn't broken loose yet, but I guess they were anticipating it. They're like, okay, what do you want us to do? So they were like, go to, I forget which hotel it was. I think it was the Omni in downtown Corpus. So we're like, okay, drive back down. And we're just kind of camping out in the downstairs lobby of the Omni. And you hear the wind picking up and all that stuff. And I didn't feel safe. My reporter didn't feel safe because we saw parts of the like roof like flying around. So they were like, that's fine, you know, go live from the covered kind of awning outside. So we did a couple live shots there. Again, wind is picking up, rain's picking up, sky's getting a little dark. And then I want to say that the Omni people kind of had us come in because they were closing the doors or something. They were shutting something off, so we needed to go inside. And it got to a point where if we wanted to go outside, I guess there was another door. But then came the time that it was starting to get, you know, dark and late. And, yeah, there was a kind of a misunderstanding about what we were supposed to do. And we were like, well, we have to stay. We can't stay. You know, they're not going to let us spend the night in the lobby. And so we kind of had to force the station's arm to kind of get us a hotel room because we know what we're supposed to do. And then from there, it just got even weirder and scarier because I was maintaining a sense of calm. My reporter's maintaining a sense of calm, but on top of like, and it's different from my reporter because her family's, you know, her family is out in California. So I'm a local. So, you know, I have my wife that I'm texting, and then I have my family who are, you know, they're lifers in Corpus. So I'm texting them. And then we've got a lot of trees, like in the house I grew up, we have a lot of trees surrounding our house. So I'm like also thinking about that. So the stress is kind of starting to kind of compound and build. And then coupled with that, we have like weird work requests where they're like, we saw something on Facebook that like the roof of the Omni blew off, like, go look, go check. I'm like, okay, where, how are you supposed to do that? And also like, okay, so the roof, you're telling us the roof of the building we're staying at just blew off. So you want us to go like up there where the winds, you know, it's like a vacuum situation. I'm not a scientist, but I'm assuming, you know, it's not the safest environment. Okay, yeah, go with my camera out. It was just, things were starting to get a little crazy. And then they're like, oh, we need to go live. And they did a phoner with us. So we're doing a phoner, like a phone call on air. And then like, I think we were in between phoners when, you know, the wind, if you've ever lived through a hurricane or spent time in a hurricane, you know, like that very distinct wind sound that comes with like, that's just like the wind just rushing by the window. So we start to hear that. And then I'll never forget this, like the building, you could feel the building sway. I forget what floor we were on, but we were pretty high up. And like you look down, you can kind of see like a light where like the Weather Channel people were doing their thing. But I very specifically remember feeling the slight sway to the building. And then we're like, okay, we need to go to the bathroom. So my reporter and I then went into the bathroom, and like, I was like, do you want to like sit in the tub? She's like, no, I'll just sit like on the toilet seat. I was like, okay, well, I'm sitting in the tub because like, I don't like this. I think I put the, like, propped up the couch against the window too, just in case, like sealed the door. Continued to do phoners with the station. It's that weird, ridiculous, like you feel so ridiculous. It's like several times, that's always with weather, and that I've like felt as a like journalist where I'm like, I want to look up the sky and be like, what am I doing with my life? Like, yeah, like I've like these three things on my mind. I have my wife, my mom and my grandma, my brother, and then you know, the work stressor. So it's just like, it's just one thing after another. And then my reporter had a small breakdown, and then I had a breakdown because like weather is starting to really pick up and get worse. And then like between that and like all the stress, like, yeah, no, we there were a couple of points where we kind of like had like small mini emotional breakdowns because you're just like, and also too, you know, you're stuck in this building, and you also like, it's a weird, it's weird because like I'm saying like I wasn't stoked about being out there, but I felt like I could have been doing something else. Here I am just like in this crappy situation because of poor planning. But yeah, that's kind of how that night went. And then eventually the weather kind of died down a little bit to the point where we felt comfortable like being back into the main room where the windows were. And then I slept, and I would wake up like every 45 minutes just to make sure that either I didn't miss a call from my folks, my wife, or the station. And then like we got up at like 4 in the morning, ran into, oh my God, it was a Dave Muir from ABC News. He was out there doing a live shot in front of the hotel. And of course my reporter went and like hogged the camera, and I was like, okay, whatever. I also didn't want to be on Good Morning America, so I let her take care of that. And I looked up at the truck and realized that my dish on my live truck was gone. So I was like, great. Yeah, we drove around Corpus at like 5 in the morning. Like power downtown was completely out. So that was kind of spooky. Got a couple of shots, went back to the station. It was just so weird because I had really hadn't heard a whole lot from you guys. And like the window had busted open, like a car is parked by the window because the window busted open. No one was at the station. Like, I think it was like, the worst of it obviously had passed, and it was like I don't even know how to describe it. It was just like the people that were there were zombies, and a lot of them were like the folks from like San Antonio and Austin. So they kind of were just manning the phones, and no one was really like coherent. And then I think I talked to my news director and I was like, I'm going to go home and take a nap. And then, you know, I'll be back for the night side shift. This is like 7 o'clock. So I basically had to show back up at work at 2. So I went home. And my wife hadn't been back home yet. So I went back to my auntie apartment. Kind of had to, I forget where I put the mattress. I think we put it up against the closet. I smoked at the time. Didn't smoke inside, but smoked a cigarette while I was like putting things back. And then like took a long nap and then went back to work in the dark because we went to like Rockport, and that was also kind of like not like kind of depressing.
Yeah. I guess, was it when you were at the Omni, is that when it became real for you?
Yeah. Yeah, it became real. And it's weird because, again, I wasn't out like necessarily in the elements like when it was like the hairiest, but yeah, it's just between like feeling the building sway and all the other stressors. Yeah, it really start to feel real again. That moment where you're like, "What am I doing? How did I get into this situation?"
Yeah, I mean, I do not envy you at all. I don't remember a lot about it. I was really sick. I had a really bad cold, so I was jacked up, yeah, on cough medicine.
I mean this in the nicest possible way. You looked like death.
Yeah, no one showered. We were using baby wipes. Everyone in the station was just kind of like, no one knew what to do because, you know, there wasn't a game plan other than stay on air. We need wall-to-wall coverage. But I like how the station called and said, get back home, but also go to the roof because it fell off, like it blew away. Yeah. Like, well, what is it? Do you want me to be safe or not?
Which was false, by the way. That was a false report. There was a lot of, I hate to use the term fake news, but there was a lot of misinformation out on social media, and, you know, so that didn't help things either.
I want to kind of go back a little bit to you and your reporter being out in the field, and even when you were just doing the phoners, like, tone and demeanor are so incredibly important. How did you and your reporter stay calm? You know, because you can't worry the audience. You can't let them know that you're scared because then they get scared. So, like, how did you handle that?
I have no idea. I would be lying if I told you what was going through my head and how I just remember just kind of, I guess, focus, just kind of being very matter of fact. You know, in the case of a relative was watching, I didn't want them to also worry about me. But yeah, I'd be lying if I said I remembered exactly. But if I had to like guess, it would probably be just focus and try not to lose it. Because I think my reporter and I were also trying to like be strong for each other. My wife and I have a weird thing where like, both of us can't be having an emotional breakdown. One of us needs to be a rock for the other. So I think that was kind of what was going on with my reporter and I. It was like, we're both trying to kind of also save face for each other in case that, you know, we needed, you know, to be a rock. Like, I think that was also kind of what was at play.
Did your life pretty much go back to normal afterwards?
Yeah. Luckily, like for us, at least for me personally and, you know, my family, we weren't adversely affected by Harvey. I know there are others that were not as fortunate. But luckily for me, like it did kind of go back to normal, although, there were long hours for like a week, a couple weeks where we were, you know, doing a lot of follow-ups and stuff like that. So that, you know, normal in the sense that I was working my tail off. Yeah, that was pretty normal because I think during that period too, I didn't have a lot of time off.
Did the Hurricane Harvey kind of prepare you for everything that Florida has going on?
Yeah, it was a good, like, it was kind of a good test, I think. Since I've been here, we haven't had, like, a Harvey. And we've had a couple of close calls, but Florida does, especially in the summertime, we have our fair share of like crazy weather. Like, I don't know what it is about the summertime, but we have like what's called a rainy season. So guaranteed from like May until like October, like in the late afternoon. The weather goes crazy. And then the sun comes out like nothing happened. And like, I think, I don't know if it was, I can't remember if it was last year. I think it was last year. It was like on a weekend. I was, full disclosure, I was nursing a hangover. And we had like a crazy breakout of tornadoes. And like, I had to like throw my clothes on, like, and then just go. And yeah, it all happened so fast down here. So I guess, yeah, in a way it did prepare. I'm knock on wood that this hurricane season doesn't bring anything kind of crazy. Because my goal is to eventually get out of news. And the next time something like a big hurricane comes, I kind of don't want to be like, I'd rather take care of my family and myself than like have to worry about like other things, as selfish as that is, I guess. But it did help prepare. I had like that last stretch of time like kind of prepared me for jumping over here, because the news is a little crazy right here because it's Florida.
That was pretty much all my questions. Do you have anything that you want to add that I didn't cover?
Oh, actually, and I don't know if you have to edit this in sequential order. I realize I forgot to like mention this at the top because I thought it was really funny and ironic. I almost couldn't make this recording because I almost got sent to Puerto Rico because of Fiona. It's a long story. I didn't go. I'm kind of upset about it, but whatever. There he goes again, where I'm like, oh, I don't want to be a part of like severe weather, but like there is a kind of a cool factor, I guess, to it. I guess it's like a sense of pride to the show that can do it. But yeah, I almost missed the recording because Fiona struck Puerto Rico yesterday or the day before. And they ended up sending my chief. But yeah, like I would have been out for like 4 or 5 days.
All right. Thank you so much for being safe and being here and doing this interview with me.
Of course. Anytime.